الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الحجرات اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وان طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فاصلحوا بينهما فان بغت احداهما على الاخرى فقاتلوا التي تبغي حتى تفيء الى امر الله فان فاءت فاصلحوا بينهما بالعدل واقسطوا ان الله يحب المقسطين انما المؤمنون اخوة فاصلحوا بين اخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون يا ايها الذين امنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى ان يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى ان يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا انفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالالقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الايمان ومن لم يتب فاولئك هم الظالمون يا ايها الذين امنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن ان بعض الظن اسم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا ايحب احدكم ان ياكل لحم اخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله ان الله تواب رحيم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ارزقنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى امين يا رب العالمين As I told you in the preliminary talk about Surah Al-Hujurat, this Surah Mubarakah can be divided into three parts. In the first part, two fundamentals of Islamic polity, fundamentals of Islamic state, and fundamentals for the homogeneity and continuity of culture in Muslim society. These things have been discussed. The constitutional legal foundation of Islamic state, sovereignty of Allah, and superiority on all aspects of the Book of Allah and the practice of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then cultural basis, following of the Prophet, ittiba, not only obedience, but following, imitating him in every walk of life, in every aspect of life. That becomes the basis of the culture of Muslim society. And because his person is for all times to come the center of love and adoration and admiration and respect and regard for every Muslim, it guarantees the cultural homogeneity as well as continuity of the Muslim Ummah. Now the second part of this surah consists of 8 do's and don'ts, awamir and nawahi, as we had in the previous lesson in the 3rd and 4th sections of Surah Bani Israel. Commandments, do this, don't do this, refrain from this. In the same way, here are 8 do's and don'ts. 2 of them are more important. 6 are comparatively, so to say, less important. Although no commandment of Allah can be less important, but comparatively. Why I say so? Because to the 2 commandments, full ayat are being devoted. 1 ayah for 1 commandment, another ayah, rather 2 ayahs for another commandment. But the other 6 They have been included in three ayat. In two ayat. Three in one, three in one. So that can be a measure. The two are more important, more fundamental, and six are although very important, but comparatively we will say they are of a smaller nature. First of the two more important commandments we have already discussed. Never act on rumors. Must investigate, then take any decision or take any step. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. I told you, this ayah has two aspects. Number one, any news about the Prophet. You have to investigate whether he really said so or not. But the other side is that it's a general rule also. Any news, you have to investigate. Especially if it is coming from a person who cannot be depended upon, whose character, whose behavior is not that of a righteous person, a pious person, a muttaqi, a fasiq insan, although he is a Muslim. A Muslim can be fasiq. Muslim can be fajir. So if some news and some important news is coming through some such person, you must investigate thoroughly and then take some steps. Now the second. وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. If two groups from among the believers اقْتَتَلُوا, they fall out to the extent of fighting, even going to war against each other. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. It's imperative upon you, it's your duty, it's farz, because this is fi'l al-amr. And it is the general principle of fiqh. Al-amru lil-wujub. Except that if there is some other background where we can say it is not for wujub. Generally, al-amru is for wujub. It's duty. It's lazim. It's farz. It's imperative upon you to have between them some treaty, some agreement. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Stop it. Nip the evil in the bud. Don't let it increase. Don't let it flare up. Number two, don't feel indifference towards it. It's your farz, it's your duty. Why? Because actually, it can weaken the integrity of the ummah. When the ummah is weakened, then that cause, لَيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, for which you have to wage jihad. So actually, as Ghalib said, Navik ne tere saib na choda zamane mein. This small incident actually, the result is that the strength of the ummah, actually, it is weakened. So you must be always alive to it. Always cautious. Don't let any disputes grow in intensity. And try to dip the evil in the bud. Don't think that it's a matter between these two groups. It doesn't concern me. This attitude of indifference is not allowed. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. Now this one ayah contains a full law, and there are so many sections of that law. First section is, it's your duty to bring them to some terms, bring them to negotiation, have some truce or treaty concluded between them. This is your duty. Clause number one. Now clause number two. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. Now if one of them is transgressing against the other, even after that treaty was made through the intervention of the Muslim Ummah as a whole, now one party is bent upon doing mischief. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي. Now you fight against that group which is transgressing. It is as if that group is now challenging the whole ummah. Now it's not a dispute between two parties, two groups. To begin with, it was a dispute between two parties, two groups of the Mu'mins, of the Muslims, of the believers. But now when a truce was concluded, a treaty was concluded, some decision has been taken. Now if a group is again doing mischief, is bent upon doing mischief, transgressing, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي. Now it's your duty to fight against that group, that party, which is transgressing and which is behaving wrongfully. حَتَّى تَفِيَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Till it returns to the Amr of Allah. Now what is the Amr of Allah? The treaty which was concluded between those two groups through the intervention of the Muslim Ummah, actually, it is honored. It is now Amrullah. And they must return to it. Hatta tafi'a ila Amrullah. Now the third section, fa'infaq. Now if it returns to it, and it's ready to give up its, transgression and mischief, fa'aslihu bainahuma. So again, make a choose between them, conclude the, again, a treaty. فَاسْلِهُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَاقْسِطُ. And you must do it with justice and do it equitably. Now because now here is a danger, that because now you had fought that group, you might suppress it unduly. So that is why two words are added. فَاسْلِهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. It was not added before. وَإِنْ تَعِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَتَلُوا فَاسْلِهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ فَاتَ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَاقْسِطُوا. Now be more cautious, because now you also have become a party. You are also fighting against that group, that party. So be more cautious. بِالْعَدْلِ وَاقْسِطُوا, lest you should commit some injustice and you become unequitable. No, do it equitably. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Definitely, verily, surely, Allah loves those who do justice, who settle the matters equitably. Now this is the second, very fundamental, very big. It should be observed at all the levels. It so happens, there are brothers. There's some dispute between two brothers. The others, if they think, then let them decide it themselves. If we come in between, well, if we take the side of one, if we think that this person is on the right side and the other brother is doing something wrong, as we say something against him, so he'll feel offended. I will risk that he'll be angry with me. And if due to this you remain indifferent, you are acting against the advice of the Quran, against the injunction of the Quran, wherever it is. See, who is on the right, who is on the wrong. Be on the side of the right. It's your duty. And you must fight him if the other is doing wrong. So actually, this is not observed by us at any level. The dispute between Iraq and Iran continued and continued and continued, because there is no Ummah at the present. Therefore, how many Muslims died? How much money, how much funds, billions and billions and billions of dollars. The obsolete aslaha from Israel. They could get the best cash. Obsolete weapons. Of no use to them. But they could sell it to Iran. They got the advantage. So actually, from the lowest till the highest level, this should be our attitude. وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Number one, it's your duty to intervene and make them settle their dispute and conclude some truce or some treaty. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Now if one party is bent upon doing mischief, now it is not a dispute between those two parties. Now that party is actually challenging the Muslim Ummah as a whole to go to war against that party. Fight it out. حَتَّى تَفِيَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Compel it to accept that the treaty, the terms that were settled. And if they do so, now again conclude a treaty, afresh, a son-in-law. But here you have to be very cautious. بِالْعَدْلِ وَاقْسِطُ. Now don't do any excessive harm to that party. After all, he is also, that party is also from among the Muslims. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Now the spirit behind this should be, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. All the Mu'mins, all the Muslims are like brothers. So you must try to solve the disputes between two brothers. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And remain conscious of Allah. Always have regard for Allah. If you have regard for Allah, you have regard for His commandments. If you have regard for Allah, you have regard for His do's and don'ts. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So that you should be, mercy should be done to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show His mercy to you if you have His taqwa in your hearts. Now those two ayat, each one of them has three commandments, do's or don'ts. And these are don'ts basically. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. O you who believe, or O you who profess to believe, no group amongst you should mock at or deride any other group. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. It's just possible that they might be better than them. Mostly you laugh at somebody, some person or some group on the basis of some apparent defect. Maybe what is within his heart is much purer than what you have in your heart. Maybe he is at a higher level of Iman and love of Allah and love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is any bodily defect, if he is somehow or the other handicapped, if his complexion is not appealing to you, nearly pleasant for you, if his features are not pleasant to you, you can't say maybe the inner personality, just as happened with Bilal, a black man having very thick lips, couldn't pronounce seen, sheen. He always pronounced seen, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Still he was the Muslim of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to address him, Sayyidina Bilal. Because they know, they knew that love of Allah, faith in Allah, love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is extreme in the heart of Bilal. You are looking to the external side of the personalities of persons or groups or communities. How can you see what is within their personalities? Maybe they are more dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you. So don't mock at them. Don't laugh at them. Don't deride them. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ. It has been repeated here for women. Because this weakness is present more among the women. Because men, as they have the more heavier duties on their shoulders, so these smaller things usually don't occupy their attention. But women, having limited atmosphere around them, so these small things become magnified in their eyes. And this weakness is more apparent in them. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating it expressly for women also. Otherwise, every commandment which is contained here is meant for women also, as for men. But in this regard, it has been repeated expressly. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. Maybe those women on whom they are laughing or whom they are mocking, they might be better in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than those who are laughing and mocking. وَلَا تَلْمِذُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Second commandment. And don't defame and be sarcastic. أَنفُسَكُمْ. With yourself. No, this time. If you are defaming a Muslim, he is your brother. It is as if you are defaming your own self. This is the way of persuasion. Why do you think that you are doing something to him? He is your brother. He is you. That is the Prophet once said, Don't call bad names to your parents. Somebody asked, who can call bad names to the parents? He said, if you call bad names to any other person, other person's parents, he will reply you in the same coin, he will call bad names to your parents. Actually, you have done so. You have called bad names to your parents. Because you did so with somebody else and he did in the same way for your parents. That is the way here. وَلَا تَلْمِذُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Don't be faint and don't be sarcastic about your own self. Because your Muslim brothers are really your own selves. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ And don't throw on each other offensive nicknames which are not liked by them. Call them by their names, not by nicknames, and especially those nicknames which they don't like. But people do it. Now all these things, you know, usually they are taken very lightly. Even among friends, they go on doing it. But it definitely happens sometimes that a joke that you have been making and cutting to a friend and he was not taking it seriously, at a particular moment, he takes it seriously. And then there starts a dispute and enmity. Long associations are gone. The bond of love finished. So what is the result? If two Muslims, if their hearts have gone apart, the weakness is in the Muslim Ummah. You know the big facades, the ramparts that used to be around the cities. They were made of bricks. Now the strength of those ramparts depending on two things. All the bricks should be very strong. Then the cement substance joining them, that should also be strong. If there is some, the cement substance not strong enough, it has given way. That facade, that rampart is now, here is the source of danger for the whole of the city. Not only for this facade, not only for this rampart. Now the enemy can come and enter the city through this. So actually, although however small it might appear to be, if you take it on the greater scale, the result is that the weakness final is for the Ummah. You are all bricks of that big rampart. You all go to make that Ummah. And if the bond of love between two Muslims is weakened, it's a source of weakness, a potential source of danger. Enemy can exploit this because two brothers, they are fighting each other. The enemy can exploit this enmity of two brothers. Can use one against the Ummah. And this has been happening. How many times in history? Big defeats only due to such petty disputes at home. And when the enemy came to know that there is a dispute there, they will contact one party and exploit it. I was astonished to read, you know, in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave some punishment to Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, because he didn't join the army, he didn't go to Tabuk. And when the Prophet came back, he confessed his weakness. There was no cause, no uzr. I could go. It was actually the weakness of my faith, my nafs deceived me. You can go later on. You have a very strong camel. It can run faster. The Prophet will be going with an army of 30,000. It will be moving slow. You stay at home for certain days more. Enjoy the luxuries of your home and comforts of your home life. Then you go, you can join. And suddenly one day I thought that now, however fast I may run, I can't catch you. Then he was punished. But then a letter came to him from the chief of Ghassan. And that letter was addressing him. We have come to know that your master or your whatsoever was Sahib, the word was used for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is misusing you. He doesn't know your status. You come to us. We shall give you the honor that is due to you. And the moment he read the letter, he just stole away and put it in the fire. It's another from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is another more difficult test for me and for my iman. So enemy is always in your way. It will always be seeking you. Any source of weakness, any dispute, and try to exploit it. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰن يَكُونَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا تَلْمِذُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ لَيْسَ الْإِثْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. Bad is even the name of fisq. You may say that we don't mean these things. We are only saying out of joke. We are only doing, you know, some light talking and nothing. We don't mean it. But even name of fisq after iman is not compatible. You look to the state that Allah has given you, the status. He has given you faith. He has given you iman. He has raised you high. Now you have to give up these things. These are very small. They are not equal to you. لَيْسَ الْإِثْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whosoever doesn't repent and return from these wrong habits, then they are the transgressors, then they are the zalim, then they will be punished, then they will be accounted for the day of judgment. Second ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ. O you who believe or profess to believe, avoid too much suspicion. You are suspicious of somebody that he has some bad intentions about you, although you have no knowledge about it. But zan, don't have much zan, because this zan, in the bab of zan ism, some of the suspicions go to the extent of becoming sins. Because whatever idea you have about a person, your attitude will depend on that idea. And now your attitude would be towards that person, not of a loving brother. Because you have suspicion in your mind, in your heart about him. Although there is no basis for that suspicion. Avoid much suspicion. Is kanibu kasira minagwan. In the bab of dhanni ismun, some of the suspicions, they reach the level of sin, ismun, because it is wrong, and your attitude will become wrong. As you know, love begets love, hatred begets hatred. In return, that person also will have some hatred for you. And what's the result? Again the same. Two Muslims torn apart, and it is actually a potential weakness and a potential danger for the ummah, for the strength and integrity of the ummah. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Don't spy. Don't be on the lookout. What is happening in that house and what is happening in this house? These two brothers, you know, they never fight. They never quarrel. They love each other. How come? What's the matter? Certain people have this aptitude of trying to find out something, you know, something wrong. While the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if something bad comes to your knowledge without your intention, try to cover it up. Try to behave as if you have not seen it. Why to go and find it out? Well, I could just say, but these are very, so to say, very simple advices. But they're very important. The attitude. If something is going wrong somewhere, but if you can do some good to it, take some interest. Otherwise, why to know these things? Even if something bad comes to your knowledge, without your intention, without your own trying for it, try to cover it up. If you cover the weaknesses and shortcomings of your brothers, Allah will cover your weaknesses and shortcomings on the day of judgment. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And no backbiting, no speaking ill about each other on the backs of each other. Riba. To say something which might not be liked by him in his absence. This is the last of the six, and this is the most important, because it's most prevalent, most common. So to say, after every dinner, you know, this is the last dish that is served. Speaking ill of those who are not present. And in some, you will find that if certain some people are sitting, they are talking ill about somebody who is not there. And no sooner than one of them leaves that society, that meeting, now they will talk ill about him who has just left. And this goes on. It's the most delicious dish after every meal for some of us. And what importance it has, how it is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just see. أَيُّحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Will any one of you like to eat the flesh of a dead brother? أَيُّحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Will any one of you like to eat the flesh of a brother who is dead? فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. You abhor it. None of you can think of it. But the same thing you are doing at the moral level. What's the basis of the simile? If a person is living, can you cut a piece of his flesh from his body? He will resist. You can't take that courage. But if one is dead, you can cut away the flesh. That will. From which part of the body you need or you like. Same is the case of a person who is not present in that society, in that meeting. Had he been present, he would have defended his honor. You are saying wrong. What are you saying about me? It's not correct. He will be able to explain his position. Maybe you had some doubts. You have some misunderstanding. Your misunderstanding can be removed. That person would say, he will defend his honor. But if he is not present, he cannot defend his honor. Just as the dead body cannot defend itself. You can take away the flesh from wherever you like. In the same way, you can attack the honor of the person who is not present. So this riba, this saying something bad about any Muslim in his absence, is just like, in the eyes of Allah, it's just like eating the flesh of a dead brother. فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. This you don't like, you abhor it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Have consciousness of Allah. Be mindful of Allah. Have regard for Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily, Allah accepts tawbah. Tawwab, meaning He accepts. When somebody repents, and he is very much happy, as I gave you the hadith other day, if a bondsman, if an abd, if a servant of Allah, if a slave of Allah, if a Muslim and a mu'min, he had committed something wrong, some sin, and now he is repenting. From the depth of his heart, he has made a firm resolve not to repeat it again. And he asked for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is very happy, more happy than a person who found his camel after having lost it and after being absolutely disappointed about it. Suddenly he finds that the camel is there with the meal and the water on it. So you know, he is overwhelmed by joy and happiness. And he says, he wanted to say, Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abduk. But out of this overwhelming, out of joy, he says, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Prophet said, just imagine how happy he is. And Allah is more happy than this person. When a sinner repents and returns to him and asks for his forgiveness, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. He accepts tawbah, and number two, he is merciful. Now let me give you a hadith about this riba. It was asked of the Prophet, what is riba? The Prophet said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. You're mentioning about your brother something which he would dislike. This is riba.
This is the definition of ghibah.
وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضَكُمْ بَعْضًا ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. You are mentioning something about your brother which he would dislike. قِيلَ أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ. Now, a question was put to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Messenger of Allah, what's your opinion? If that thing is actually present in that brother, I'm not saying something wrong, I'm not lying, I'm not telling a lie. Something is there, some wrong, some sin he has committed, some mistakes he has committed. It's a reality, not imaginary thing. I have not concocted it. أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ. It's still a ghiba. قَالَ إِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ أَغْتَبَتْهُ أَغْتَبْتَهُ. If it is in him which you are saying, but you are saying it in his absence, it is ghiba. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ بَهَتَتْهُ. And if it is not present in him what you are saying, that it is buhtan. It's more than ghiba. It's a charge, false charge. It's a double crime. Ghiba is that is actually present. Something which is present in your brother, his personality, his character, his behavior, or so on. And you are mentioning it in his absence, it is ghiba. If it is not, then it is more than ghiba. It is buhtan, it's a false charge. Actually, the teaching of our religion is that whatever is we want to mention, some shortcoming in a brother, tell him in his face. You should have the courage. And the best way is, tell him privately, when he's alone, not in the public. With sincerity of purpose, that he should mend his way. He should rectify his mistake. He should correct his behavior. Separately, when you are alone, you and he and nobody is listening. So you should have the courage to tell it to him. Al-Muslim or miracle Muslim, the Prophet said. A Muslim should be like a mirror for a Muslim. Just as the mirror can show, if there is something on your face, you see the mirror. And you clean it. In the same way, you should behave as a mirror to your brother to tell him, see brother, you are committing this mistake. This attitude of yours is not correct, it's wrong. Tell him privately that it is biggest virtue. But telling and mentioning him and his mistake or his shortcoming in his absence, it is ghibah. It is like and equal to eating the flesh of the dead brother. Now the second part of the Surah Al-Mubarakah ends here. But again, between the second and the third part, we have an ayah which has two faces. One aspect of the ayah is facing this very subject which we have just concluded. 8 commandments, 2 bigger ones, 6 smaller ones. Never take any action, decision or rumors only without investigation. Number 2, whenever there is dispute among Muslims, go and try to make treaty between them, settle the dispute. And here are several clauses of this law. If still one persists in misbehavior, fight against it. Compel it to have the right way. And if it is very, then again make justice between them. Number 3, no laughing at each other. No mockery. Number 4, don't defame each other. Number 5, don't throw upon each other nicknames, offensive nicknames, which they don't like. Number 6, don't have suspicions. Don't harbor doubts about others. And number 7, don't go and have tajassus. Look into the matters of others, trying to spy their conditions. And number 8, don't make riba. No backbiting. No ill talking about any Muslim brother in his absence. All these things, all these commandments are meant to keep the Muslim society integrated, to keep the bond of love between the Muslims intact. What for? So that the Ummah remains strong, strong against enemies of Allah, and it remains strong to wage jihad for the cause of Allah. Now, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Here for the first time you have found, you have read Ya ayyuhan nas. In the preceding 12 ayat, 5 times we have read Ya ayyuhan ladheena amanu, Ya ayyuhan ladheena amanu, Ya ayyuhan ladheena amanu, Ya ayyuhan ladheena amanu. And I mentioned in the very beginning, these words appear 89 times in the Quran, and out of those 89 times, 5 times only in this surah. Because these words actually are to address the Ummah. And this surah is discussing different aspects of the community life of the Ummah. The highest level of organization of the community state. It began with discussion about the state. Then the culture of the Muslim Ummah. Then the integrity and strength of the Muslim Ummah. But here we find, and I shall tell you why, but only at present you note it. Ya ayyuhan nas. O people, O progeny of Adam, inna khalaqnakum. We have created you all. Min dhakar wa unsa. From one male and one female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شَعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And then we made you into nations and tribes so that you can recognize each other. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable in the eyes of Allah are those amongst you who are most pious, who are most righteous, who are most God-conscious. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Verily Allah knows everything, He is aware of everything. Now this ayah, first of all, please note, as I told you, it is addressing the whole of humanity, not only the Muslims. But one aspect of this ayah is towards the subject which we have discussed already. Why do people mock at each other? They think themselves to be superior and others to be inferior. This superiority, inferiority is on the basis of race, color, different things, richness or poverty. All these things which we were discussing. The underlying disease, pathology is sense of superiority. We are superior. He is inferior. We are the chosen people of the Lord. We are a superior race. So that is being cut. The root of all that disease is cut by this ayah. All humanity, all human beings, by birth are absolutely equal. This is a very revolutionary idea. No one superior, no one inferior, by birth. Inferiority and superiority is in the acquired characters. Someone has attained knowledge, he is higher in knowledge and wisdom, but he is superior to those who couldn't do it, who didn't do it. Somebody are more pious, more righteous, they are serving humanity, well, they are actually superior by their actions, by their character, by their deed, by their behavior. But what has been given to a human being? The color of his skin? It is given to him by Allah, his creator. Where he was made to born, he was born. Well, he had no choice. Born of Indian parents is an Indian, born of European parents is a European. Born of such and such tribe, he belongs to that tribe. Born a woman, she is a woman. Born a man, he is a man. No concept of any superiority about things which are given to a human being. This is the basis. superiority or inferiority would be in something which is acquired. And for this, as I told you in some of my previous lectures, that important matters you will always find in Quran twice at least. This basic concept has been given in ayah number 1 of Surah An-Nisa. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً ۚ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ ۚ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, they're also يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ. Now this is common between all human beings, Muslims or non-Muslims. Allah has created all. Is not only our creator. The kuffar, the non-Muslim, they are also created by Allah. He has created you all. And number 2, this is very important. This concept that this whole humanity is the progeny of one human pair, Adam and Hawa. It's very revolutionary. It's changed the mind, the feeling, the attitude. If you really believe in it, all are brothers. There's no discrimination. No nations, natures, tribes. This ayah tells you, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا, only that you can recognize each other. Had all the people the same complexion, the same features, the same language, how could you identify each other? How could you recognize? This happens with the twins, twin brothers, becomes difficult to recognize them. Twin sisters, becomes difficult to recognize them. So actually, we have differentiated you into tribes, into nations. You see a person, he is a Chinese. You know everything about him. His geographical background, his historical background, his cultural background, everything is known to you simply through his features. And the color of his skin. Well, this person belongs to such and such part of the world. Only by seeing you. Seeing him. So actually, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. It's all, this only function of these differences is that you can recognize each other. They cannot become the basis of any sense of superiority or any sense of inferiority among human beings. If it is so strong, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً ۚ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ ۚ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. This rahm, real brothers and sisters, they are joined together by rahm, by the womb of their mother. They all originated from the womb of one mother. Now you go to the cousins. At the grandmother's womb, they are joined together. Now go one step higher. A greater number of men and women, they join in one womb there. They all originated from one womb of the grandmother and great-grandmother. And finally, all human beings are related to each other as one pair, and that is Adam and Hawa. So there is no question of superiority, inferiority. The same thing was said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his last sermon, لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي ولا لأحمر على أسود ولا لأسود على أحمر إلا بالتقوى كلكم بنو آدم وآدم من تراب. Or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But please note, H.G. Wells, although he has criticized the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very severely and very low criticism, but when he reached this place, in his concise history of the world, he quotes this passage and then he says, although the sermons of human fraternity, equality and freedom had been said before also, we find lot of these sermons in Jesus Christ also. But it must be accepted that it was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who founded the social order based on these principles for the first time in the history of mankind. But please note, this passage has been removed from the fresh edition of that Concise History of the World, because the real author is dead long before, and now the editors, you know, they didn't like this passage. But you can find this passage in some former edition of the Concise History of the World, a Concise History of the World by H.G. Wells, because you can find these things in libraries. And this passage, this quotation is very important. He has criticized especially the polygamy. These marriages of the Prophet ﷺ, they can't be swallowed by these Christians. I feel pity for them because their ideals are Hazrat Masih, Jesus, he didn't marry. Number two, John the Baptist, Yahya, alayhi salatu wasalam, he also didn't marry. So marriage actually, even one marriage, in their eyes, is so to say, is contrary to piety and godliness, love of Allah, it is contrary to it. The person who marries, he is leading an inferior life, spiritually speaking. The higher spiritual life is without marriage. So this is their concept. How can swallow the 11 marriages of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So I have sympathy for them on that account. But here he has said this big truth, that although the sermons of human fraternity, equality and freedom were said before also, we find these sermons of Jesus Christ, in Jesus of Nazareth, abundant. But it must be admitted that the social order based on these principles was for the first time in the whole history of mankind established by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these were not empty words. Ya yuhannas, inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable amongst you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who are most pious, most righteous amongst you. And this piety and righteousness, although it is within the hearts of the men, but Allah knows you. Allah sees you through and through. Allah knows you through and through. Inna Allah alimul khabir. He knows whether somebody is really pious or not, whether somebody has taqwa, real taqwa in his heart or not. But the second aspect of this is about the Islamic State. Islamic State, the citizenship is only for Muslims. We shall discuss it tomorrow, inshallah, the most important issue. What about the non-Muslims? If there is an Islamic State, for example, in some country, in some part of the world, can that Islamic State have any relations with the humanity at large, who are not believers, who are not Muslims? And if they can have any connection and relation, what is the basis? The basis, these are the two bases. Whether someone is Muslim or non-Muslim, two things are common between them. Allah created them all. And number two, they are all progeny of Adam and Eve, alayhi salatu wassalam. So we can have good relations with them. Except as we find in Surah Al-Mujadah, Surah Al-Muntahimah. When there is a war declared with any country, the matter is different. If some country or some nation is resisting you, they want to prevent you from practicing the deen of Allah, then the matter is different. But those who are not resisting, who are not obstructing your way, you can have good relations with them. And تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُخْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't prevent you. In the same way, Islamic State will have non-Muslim citizens, but their status is a bit different that we shall discuss. But to do good to them, to be friendly to them, to have good behavior with them, at human level, it is not forbidden. That is why here, it's not Ya ayyuhal ladheena aamanu. Rather, Ya ayyuhal naas, inna khalaqnaakum min dhakarin wa unsa, wa ja'alnaakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, inna allaha alimul khabir. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa zikri al-hakim.